Welcome back again to BadQuaker.com podcast. This is episode 93 for Wednesday, February 1st, 2012. I'm Ben.
I'm Kai.
Hi, everybody. February. What a strange word. I know where most of the words for the months originated.
I don't know where that one comes from.
I don't know. I guess I could. We were just talking about that. I couldn't Google it and find
out. I do know it. I know everything.
How difficult would it be for me to Google that and find out before I ask the silly question? The context for our listeners, the context here in our private joke that we're sharing and you're not a part of.
Haha.
We were talking about a...
If you want another joke, just go Google it.
Yeah. We were talking about a particular, and some of our listeners will know who I'm talking about. There's a particular forum on the internet that I have been a part of for a long time, and there's a real high level of politeness there, almost freakish politeness considering how most of the internet is.
Right.
People are very respectful. People on that forum are, they just... there are no personal attacks, period. The moderators will come down on you like a storm. And so people are extremely polite on that particular forum. And at one point in time, long time ago, I mentioned, I made a joke from a link to an article about the post office, and I made a Lysander Spooner joke. And immediately... people on the forum began saying, "Who's Lysander Spooner? What do you mean? I don't get this. What are you talking about, Lysander Spooner?" And so Kai and I were talking about this, and that's very freakish for the internet, mm-hmm. because many places on the internet, to admit that you don't know something that can be Googled to find out the answer, will immediately bring the wrath of the internet upon you.
Yeah, there are some parts, there are dark alleys of the internet that are rather rough on people who don't know everything always forever.
Mm-hmm. And in places like that, and we're not naming any names, or certainly not sending traffic in any particular direction, but in places like that, you get these internet experts, which, as somebody who never heard of the word, phrase, or reference prior to that moment... but then they Google it, they Wikipedia it, and they come back 3 seconds later as a complete expert on the topic,
uh-huh.
telling you all the great quotes and, yes, why, the meaning of that is, well, I've known that right along.
Like, really? All of your great quotes came from Wikipedia?
Yeah. Everything you're saying is the first three hits on Google.
Right.
You are not an expert on the topic. Speaking of internet experts and everything like that, one of the things that I wanted to touch on, and it's kind of suicidal to do this, but if I can remember to do it, I'll put the links on the page on Bad Quaker where this podcast is located. But Kai and I were talking about earlier today, we were talking about how there are some topics that, and these are topics that are popular in the Liberty Movement, along with other groups as well, that these topics are very popular with. But if you bring them up, you get an immediate, rabid response. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't...
from otherwise completely sane, rational people.
Yeah, you can have someone who you've discussed a variety of controversial subjects with them, and they're able to, converse on a logical basis and everything. And then you touch one of these topics, and it's like all of a sudden they go nuts on you. Mm-hmm. And we had compared it to going into a room full of Republicans and mentioning abortion.
Right.
Or going into a room full of Democrats and mentioning abortion or gun rights, you know.
Or birth control.
Mentioning any of those topics among rabid Democrats or Republicans and just watch them freak out. But there are topics like that in the Liberty Movement that are the same way, that people, otherwise normally sane people, all of a sudden just come uncorked.
Yeah.
One of those topics, unfortunately, is vapor trails or chemtrails, according to who you're, you know, if you just say the word chemtrails sometimes, that's going to be enough to get one of two crazy radical responses.
Yeah.
One of those responses is to practically browbeat you that the government would not do anything like this. This is not real. This is a myth. And the other is to insist that you're just not thinking straight because your brain is so twisted from the chemtrails.
Right.
And that you're being sprayed right now, and you know, they're coming after you right now. And logic has to be somewhere between these. You know, there has to be some sane region between these two exaggerated sources.
Well, and I think that's one of the main issues with dealing with...
cat attack. Alien. All right, we're free of cat disturbances.
Like I was saying, that's one of the main issues with all... Because at the heart of all of these conspiracy theories, there is truth.
There has to be something that started it all.
Otherwise, because you don't start out in life with somebody going, you know, people are lizards, and you're going, oh, that makes sense.
Right.
There has to be this beginning that you say, you know, this is... And the Zeitgeist movies are great with that, because when you start watching them, you're like, okay, that's truth.
Yeah, because there's elements of truth that they build up one piece at a time,
mm-hmm.
But that's exactly and how cults as, twist your brain.
As they build up this truth, they kind of sneak in these
mm-hmm.
little hidden layers of, you know, crazy. And it's really hard for a person to remain rational and to say what part of this
mm-hmm.
is truth and what part of this is insane.
Yeah.
And it's really hard because when you're looking at it and you see the state, there are things that the state does that are truth.
Yeah.
That you say that could not possibly be the truth.
Yeah, if you look at what they did with the Tuskegee
mm-hmm.
Experiments, if you just Wikipedia Tuskegee experiments, or it's kind of confusing because they're
to spell.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that means I have to put another link. It's so hard to put a link on my... Can't people just look it up themselves? No, but there was Tuskegee Airmen, too, mm-hmm. which is a different topic altogether.
Right.
But there were these just wretched, these horrible, monstrous American doctors who were progressives,
mm-hmm.
who felt perfectly comfortable experimenting on people in the South simply because they were black.
Mm-hmm.
And intentionally tortured these people. I mean, there's no really other way to look at it.
Right.
And this is not crazy conspiracy. This is fully documented. It happened all the way to the point of where there was an actual presidential acknowledgement of it and an official presidential apology for it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not crazy stuff. This happened.
But if you just say, you know, oh, this happened.
Yeah.
It does not logically... If people don't know that it actually did happen and you say it, you sound like a crazy nut job.
Yeah, because what they did in those experiments is like the kind of things that we think of, you know, evil Nazi doctors doing to Jews in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
But these were American doctors doing it to African American people in the United States in the South,
mm-hmm.
because they were treating them as if they weren't even human.
Yeah.
They were treating them as lab rats. And then when you find out, well, when the government finally shut down that process, the same doctors with the same government funding moved to Central America and continued their experimentations.
Right.
And even that, when you first bump into this information, even if you fully understand how evil the Tuskegee experiments were, when I first found out that they moved it to Central America and continued it for years, my first thought was, oh, no. Hey, no way. And then I start looking into it, and it's like, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
They actually did this. And so, you know, you start thinking about that. But once you understand how evil these people can be, it's hard to put a stop somewhere and say, okay, yeah, they'll do this. They'll experiment on human beings, but they won't have an island right off the coast of New York where they experiment with mosquitoes with a variety of illnesses, including the the West Nile virus. No, they couldn't do that right off the coast of New York, could they? Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. You know, and each place where you think, no, they couldn't have been this evil, yeah, they were.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to see. It's hard when you hear people saying, you know, oh, this is conspiracy theory nut job, and then when you see what is actually true,
yeah,
it's hard not to go, well, I don't see why they wouldn't do that.
I'm not at all a fan of Jesse Ventura. Mm-hmm. Jesse Ventura to me is one of those people like Ted Nugent, mm-hmm. that he has a certain aspect of him that really draws people to him, and there are certain people in the Liberty Movement that really like both of those two guys. And yet, when you really analyze the situation, there's this one aspect that, to me, just makes them not acceptable as a person. I wouldn't associate with either of these two individuals. And since I brought up the two names, I'll say why. With Ted Nugent is a chicken hawk. And by that, what I mean is, when he was 18 years old and the Vietnam War was in his face, he ran from the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when war was real for him and available for him, he ran from the draft. But now he wants to go and blow up little brown people in all kinds of little countries all around the world because mm-hmm. he's a tough guy. Except he didn't want to actually do it. He wants your children to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
See? And that just burns me. I'm not in favor of the Vietnam War in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who could get out of it however they could, good for them, because it was a horrible situation.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who was stuck going
Anyone
to
who
it...
can escape slavery is...
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. So, and anybody who was stuck going to it, I sympathize for them. I appreciate that, you know, everything that they've done, thinking that they were doing something good, which, as it turns out, it wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate their intention anyway. But that's not the point. The point is for him to be anti-war and run away from war when it's his, when he's in the group that's going to be taken. And then when it's another situation that's almost identical in every other way to us bothering some other country, now he wants to send other people's children in there and mm-hmm. fight. And that just, to me, that whole chicken hawk mentality makes me want to puke. I said puke on the... Anyway, hopefully we don't lose our ratings for using that kind of language.
Shocking, appalling language.
And then you want to take Jesse Ventura. Now, you can say a lot of good things about Jesse Ventura, and his conspiracy theory show is exposing a lot of things and all that kind of stuff. And yet, he continually refers to himself as a SEAL, as a Navy SEAL. He was never a Navy SEAL. When he was in the Navy, there was a difference between frogmen and SEALs. Frogmen did things like underwater demolition, underwater welding, underwater repairs of boats. That's what he did,
mm-hmm.
okay? He was not a SEAL. A SEAL is a completely different thing altogether. Now, at some point in time, later, years after he was out of the military, all of that came under the same heading of SEALs. But when he uses the word SEALs today, people think in their mind of SEAL teams who are actually seeing action.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what he did. And he allows that. Even his book, he calls himself a SEAL on a number of occasions. And when other people call him a SEAL, he doesn't correct them.
Mm-hmm.
And on a rare occasion, he'll even call himself a SEAL. Or most of the time, he'll say something like, well, my SEAL buddies,
mm-hmm.
you know. All right, you know what? I rode a motorcycle a lot. I hung around with a lot of bikers. I hung around with Hell's Angels. I hung around with Mongols. I was never in a biker gang. So it would be disingenuous of me to call myself a Mongol because I hung around with Mongols.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, it would be dangerous.
Right.
Because unlike the SEALs, the Mongols actually have a level of standards.
Right.
And they would do something about it if I called myself a Mongol.
Right.
Not being a Mongol. And the SEALs ought to stand up and do the same thing. And there are a few who have pointed this out, a very few. I'm talking like two or three
mm-hmm.
who have pointed out that he was not a SEAL. The rest of them embrace him because, hey, he's Jesse Ventura.
Right.
Boy, that was really a rant that was totally off the topic, wasn't it?
But he knows how to pretend to beat people up.
Yeah, he does do that. He's the same kind of SEAL as he was a wrestler or an actor or a governor. Anyway, I think what got me off on that rant was that I was about to compliment him, or quote him at least. Because what he has gone in several situations, and where people have attacked him over his position on conspiracy theories, and he says, look, Robert McNamara, who was, Google it. Google Robert McNamara, folks. Don't ask me who Robert McNamara... did we ever finish the discussion of that, of Lysander Spooner and the, and Googling...
I don't know.
Or do we have to revisit that to finish? Have we already jumped like five different categories and not finished any of them?
Maybe.
Anyway, so I'll
what
finish
is
this one.
The Google Lysander Spooner.
Yeah. don't ask somebody on a forum who is Lysander Spooner if you can Google it and learn it for yourself. Yeah, anyway, so Jesse Ventura goes on TV and stuff like this, and these people always say, well, why do you believe such crazy conspiracy theory stuff? How? Why do you think the government would do these things? You don't
because
think
the government does these things.
And Jesse Ventura's fallback thing is, look, we entered the Vietnam War for... what was told to the American people was that our ships were attacked in the... Gulf of Tonkin, mm-hmm. and it was entirely a lie. Mm-hmm. And Robert McNamara, who was the Secretary of Defense at the time, and is now old man, and now he's dead. But before he died, I'm pretty sure he's dead. If he's not, he should be. But anybody that evil should be. But anyway, Robert McNamara admitted that the whole Gulf of Tonkin episode, hiccup, was fake, and they lied. And they lied to Congress. They, it's not sure whether they actually lied to the president or whether that was LBJ, mm-hmm. or whether the president was in on the lie. But at some point he was in on the lie. At some point he knew there was no attack, and yet he went on and talked to Congress and the American people and told them we'd been attacked anyway.
Right.
And that was the excuse for us to take official military action in Vietnam. The problem is, there was an attack going on those two nights when the Gulf of Tonkin incident took place. But what was happening, going back to Navy SEALs, is we were literally attacking North Vietnam. Mm-hmm. We had pulled up in their waters with our naval ships, and we sent Navy SEALs onto their docks and blew up their ships at their docks. And we were doing that, and in the process... somebody on board one of the naval ships that were out in the bay, out in the Gulf, panicked, thought they saw a torpedo coming toward the ship, and so all these guys start shooting at the water, and there's nothing out there. And the shooting just continues, and their spotters are in the air going, there's nothing. You guys are shooting at whales or something. There's nothing out there. And it even got to the point of where LBJ made the statement, I believe, to McNamara, that if it ever gets out that we're out there shooting at whales, this is not going to be a good thing.
Right.
So they did lie to the American people to get us into Vietnam. They did cover up the lie. This is an absolute fact, mm-hmm. and it's well known. And then you take something like Watergate, and you start to understand the level of deception that took place and the length of time that this deception took place. A lot of people nowadays don't realize, you know, they think like Watergate came up and then it was solved and then the president ran away and then a new president. But this took years for this to all come out to the public to fully understand what had happened. So then when you start to add these things together, what did they do with Gulf of Tonkin? What did they do with Watergate? You start to understand the depth of evil, and then you start to think, well, maybe these crazy conspiracy things are not so crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, like the chemtrails, you know, I do not believe that the things that you see in the sky after planes are anything other than water vapor trails from their engines.
Right.
They're not.
Well, and I should say this, too. Some people are really confused about this. Anytime that you take a very quick change in air temperature and or pressure... See, all air in the world, all air, you know, here on Earth, contains contains a certain amount of water.
Right.
Not only water, but there's a variety of other components that make up air, mm-hmm. including water, that can turn to a visible vapor when water, when air changes temperature or pressure.
Right.
Now, there's a very famous picture of an F-18 that's in the process of breaking the sound barrier, and you can actually see the air on all of the different surfaces of the plane. As the plane breaks the sound barrier, you can actually see the compression of the sound squeezing that air, and it almost looks like it's breaking through a sheet of vapor that it's popping through as it breaks the sound barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because as you break the sound barrier with the body of this plane, you're suddenly compressing the air. The sound itself
mm-hmm.
is suddenly compressing the air in a very rapid movement.
Right.
And that sound compressing the air creates a blanket of vapor right where the plane is at.
Right.
Now, and the reason why is because air is being compressed.
Right.
Now, you can see the same thing in an automobile that's just started up on a cold morning. And all that, what people think is smoke coming out, it's white and it disappears very rapidly. That's water vapor.
Right.
It's the exact same thing that comes off of a jet engine or wingtips of a jet
mm-hmm.
or any surface of the jets of the plane's body that happens to be going through a particular temperature and pressure of air at that time.
Right.
So a vapor trail can come off of a tail of a plane or a wingtip of a plane or an antenna sticking off the plane. Anything protruding from the plane has the capability of making a vapor trail.
Right.
And as I've often said, I have been at test cells, General Electric test cells, where we're running engines, and we're right there. I know everything that has to do with this engine as far as what we're doing with it to get it to run our test. And we're just filling a valley with fog
right.
that's coming out of this engine. And it's not chemicals. It's compressed air.
Right.
So
it's the now. Same thing that when you hold a can of compressed air upside down and spray it,
mm-hmm.
water vapor comes out.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, while I fully admit that I do not believe that anything coming off a plane is anything other than water vapor, you know, we have confirmed times when the United States government has...
And the English government.
And the English government
the UK.
Have sprayed things on American and British cities.
Yeah. I'll put the link on the page for these articles. One is from the National Academy of Science.
Mm-hmm.
One is from The Guardian UK. And, the other is to a Lou Rockwell blog post that has other links to it as well.
Right.
And what the American and English governments were doing, and they have admitted to this, is they were spraying chemical agents to test the dispersion. This is their story.
Mm-hmm.
They were spraying chemical agents to test the dispersion. So they were spraying agents that were that had a fluorescent chemical in them so that they could observe the pattern of distribution over a city like Minneapolis
right.
or London. They did this. They did this in the 50s. They sprayed... what's the other thing that says biological agents?
Yeah.
Biological agents, harmless biological agents.
Well, so if the government says it's harmless.
Yeah, so that they could determine. Oh, these were over American cities and the countryside
mm-hmm.
in the UK. They sprayed biological agents so that they could measure the distribution of those agents and how wind affected them, and so forth, so that they could understand how possible biological warfare could take place. Now, that's their story. That's the official government story.
Right.
But the official government story on the Gulf of Tonkin was that they attacked us, and the official government story on Watergate for years and years and years
yep.
is nothing's happening here.
Yep.
The official government story on all these things, one after the other, we find out is a lie. And you can go on back. You can go back to the sinking of the Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back to the
Lusitania.
The Lusitania. American newspapers in conjunction with the Wilson administration lying, telling the American people that an American ship had been sunk. that the Germans, without any provocation, had sunk an American ocean liner, mm-hmm. when A, it wasn't without provocation, B, it was forewarned by the German government in writing in American newspapers, C, it wasn't an American ship.
Yeah.
It was a British ship who was at war with the Germans, and they had openly threatened to do this. And it was hauling armament.
It was packed full of weapons.
So it was essentially a cargo. They were using it as a cargo ship, even though they were also taking passengers on, which was extremely irresponsible at best by the English and American governments. It was criminal at worst. Mm-hmm. You could argue that it was criminal. The fact that they lied about it later and said it was an American ship causes a person to say, yes, it's more criminal. They did it on purpose.
Yeah.
If they would lie about the Maine, if they'd lie about the Lusitania, they lied about Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
We knew well ahead of time. All the documentation has come out now that we knew well ahead of time on Pearl Harbor that they were going to attack, when they were going to attack, how they were going to attack.
Yep.
And the FDR administration took steps intentionally to make it easier for them to attack.
Yep.
And we find these things out one after the other after the other. And then somebody says, you know, well, what about... So the government says chemtrail, that they were spraying in the 50s, but they're not doing it now, and you're perfectly safe, and what we sprayed was harmless. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why would I believe that?
Yeah.
After everything I just said about how vapors come off planes, and how everything we just said that we don't think that every time we see lines in the sky, oh, it's the zombies coming for us.
Right.
We don't believe that.
Right.
Right? I don't believe that.
I don't believe that.
No. And yet, why would I believe the government story either?
Yeah.
So logic has to be somewhere between these crazy tinfoil hat people, or aluminum foil, because I've never personally seen tinfoil.
I would like to see tinfoil. Aluminum's not terribly good for you.
Yeah. Oh, you're just one of the aluminum's conspiracy. That's what's going on, you and your aluminum conspiracy.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
But, you know, that's kind of the problem. And it can be on any of these things. It can be on the chemtrail topic. It can be 9/11 topic. Mm-hmm. It can be aliens. It can be the lizard people. It can be, you know, undersea bases.
Mm-hmm.
It can be Bigfoot. It doesn't matter what it is.
When you get to the point where you say, I can't trust anything that comes out of the mouths of the state, and all of the researchers and science, all of the science community is in the pocket of the state,
mm-hmm.
so what do you believe?
Yeah.
What can you believe?
This is kind of like, well, we're on the topic, so we might as well beat these people up, too. This is kind of like the climate, the climate discussion, you know? What are you going to do? Are you going to take... You know, maybe 200-300 hours of hard research to try to figure out for yourself what is right about mm-hmm. the climate thing. And then once you do all that, then you find out, well, half the people you were studying were bought either by the oil companies or by the governments, one or the other. And so how can you ever come to a solid conclusion? Because all you have is... what do they call people like Al Gore who use panic to scare crowds?
Al Gore?
Fear, Al Gore. You call that an Al Gore.
No, it's officially called that.
Yeah, look it up on Wikipedia. It's an Al Gore.
UrbanDictionary.com says.
Yeah. Fearmonger.
Yeah.
You have fearmongers on each side, you know, and that's all you have.
Yep.
It's really difficult to move all the nonsense to each side and see what the truth is.
Yep.
And that makes you start to wonder, well, what really is the truth? If all this is the case, then what really is the truth with chemtrails?
Mm-hmm.
Are there none? Is it all fake?
Right. Are they using the fact that planes naturally make these lines as a cover to hide what they're doing? I don't know. You don't know, because there's no limit to how evil they will be.
Yeah. I suspect not, because I suspect that the government is too You know, there's an old saying, never blame on evil what can be attributed to stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
And another old saying in regards to government is they're just too incompetent to pull off anything like that.
Uh-huh.
And in many ways, that is our saving grace, is that the level of incompetence in the government saves us from a lot of the evil.
And, in the 1960s and the 20s and the 30s, it was a lot easier for the government to hide things.
Yeah.
Because the only people who were going to oust the government were the media.
Right.
And since the government controls the media,
yeah,
it's not a problem. But now we don't have that issue.
Right.
Now we have WikiLeaks. Now we have the entire global internet that is, it's not just a matter of, one guy knows the truth, but he can't get the word out.
Yeah.
Now it's, instantly 10 million people know this.
But the problem with that, too, is that any hoaxster,
right,
hoaxster, anybody with a crazy sense of humor.
And a Photoshop.
Yeah. Can tie some batteries and LEDs to some aluminum balloons and freak out an entire city and have the whole thing on YouTube and all of a sudden there are aliens invading.
Yep.
Now, let me just explain that carefully, what I mean by that. If, on a hypothetical situation, if a person had about 6 or 7 friends, and you went and bought, 8 or 10 or 15 or 50 Mylar balloons, and you bought, 8 or 10 or 50 just individual LEDs, and 8 or 10 or 50 little button batteries, and you just tape the leads on the LEDs to the button batteries, and then tape those to the Mylar balloons, and then you drive just to the upwind side of any major metropolitan area, and you and all your friends release these Mylar balloons at the same time, then what would float over the city would very much look like a massive UFO. Not that I would endorse such behavior. This is purely on a theoretical basis.
But it would be funny.
And that would be proof that the lizard people control the government.
I've seen the videos on YouTube. The lizard people do control the government.
You saw the one where George Bush morphs back and forth?
Yeah.
Well, we got a guy running named Newt. I mean, how obvious can... They're not even trying anymore.
Really now? Really? This is the best you can do.
Why don't you just call him Alien Mutant Lizard Person?
Alien Bob.
I, for one, would like to welcome our new alien lizard overlords.
I would like to remind them I have been a supporter of them the entire time.
And let me just remind the alien mutant lizard overlords that to keep badquaker.com on the air for another year, we're only $60 short or something. No. I think that won't be a problem. That was an unnecessary appeal for funding, but I think we'll get it. I think we'll be okay. I don't think we're going to have any downtime on the website. Anyway, that was an awkward.
We should sell sticks with nails that are anti-lizard alien. It's got a stick with a nail in it. That's a Simpsons reference.
Yeah, but if we could put a Bad Quaker logo on that and sell it at the upcoming Liberty Forum in New Hampshire, we get your sister up there to the Liberty Forum with a bunch of those and all branded with Bad Quaker logo and like a sign. We could have like a big poster of a lizard man. And somebody, and Ron Paul, and Photoshop Ron Paul hitting the lizard man with the stick with the nail in it.
Nice.
We could sell that. That would pay for your sister's whole trip to the New Hampshire Liberty Forum. How about that? There's some brainstorming for you. That's capitalism right there. That's what that is.
So, staying in the vein of ridiculous government and moving towards blatantly making fun of people on Facebook.
Oh, I forgot about that. We should have started with that.
Yeah. So
Well, let me give a disclaimer first. You know, when you're raised in a family that doesn't realize the dominance of the state, and when you go to public schools or private schools who are fashioned after public schools, and you're taught the curriculum that the government issues, and you spend your whole 12 or with kindergarten 13 years going through a series of indoctrinations by the state, and then perhaps you even go to higher education and you go to a university that again is accredited by the state, and everything that's being issued by that university is all pro-state material, then it becomes really difficult to realize the wrong in society that the state brings to us.
So I don't blame people for not realizing how the state actually works. Nevertheless, that doesn't stop me from making fun of them.
Hey, we're going to return to our Lysander Spooner thing, aren't we? It's like a circle of life.
It is.
Go ahead.
So on my Facebook yesterday, I have this, and I feel bad because there was this post, and I read it, and I couldn't get involved with it. I just couldn't. And so because of that, I ended up taking it out on another person on Facebook who posted something about how genetically modified food wasn't really that bad and how the world would starve if we didn't have it. And so I beat him up pretty badly about that.
So you avoided the one who really caused your anger, and then you took out your frustration on some poor, weak person who you just mercilessly slaughtered, right?
Yeah.
I have never done that on the internet.
But there's this post, and this, it was, somebody posted something about the post office, and it's new services for P.O. box holders. And so somebody else posted, you know, that that they like the post office because they're the only people that will post mail to APO, FPOS, and the military bases. And so they make the statement now, and I'm going to read it verbatim because I think that's the best way to make fun of them is to simply read what they wrote. They're cutting back a lot of services / routes because of money tightening. It does rather annoy me as the United States Postal Service has a lot of standards and rules that they have to live up to that private corporations do not. But private corporations have lobbyists, so I try to do everything I can to help out the USPS. And then they go on to say, I just wish I knew what I could do more to help them out. I wish there was some sort of organization or super PAC sort of thing for the post office to help them out, because I know I'd donate money to it, and I'm pretty sure other military living overseas would too. I can't imagine how expensive it would be to get any mail if we had to rely on FedEx or UPS.
Oh, my.
And there are... The reason why I didn't touch this post is...
Socialism works.
There are so many things wrong with it. I couldn't... It was one of those things where it was like, what do I pick out first?
Yeah.
You know?
I have a friend on a forum that he produced a lot of...
Sorry, folks. The doctor's landing.
What?
It's the sound effects from Doctor Who when the TARDIS lands.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I have this friend that's... I've actually connected with him in several places on the internet where sometimes we have intentionally found each other and other times we just bump into each other and like, wait a minute, you sound like this one guy, you know? Well, I am that one guy. But anyway, I have a friend on the internet who I've known for some time, and sometimes he can be just the sweetest guy you've ever known, you know, but sometimes somebody will say something like what that, and his response will be just like what I did. It's like, yay, socialism. And then the person's like, wait, I'm not a socialist. Yeah, you are.
Really? Because you just said something about socialism.
So he has really gotten people that just hated him because of this form of humor that he has. But But yeah, I do sympathize because they don't know. They're wrong on so many levels, and there's so many fallacies that they have based their thought process on, that it's like you walk up to the pyramid, a great pyramid in Egypt, and you're like, how am I going to disassemble this thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's based on so many fallacies.
Mm-hmm.
If I start on the top, I'll never get to the bottom. If I start on the bottom, the thing's going to collapse on me. There's just no way to deal with. How do you do that? Well, you don't. You just go beat up somebody else that said something about GMO.
And it's incredibly hard because, and this is actually a topic that I'm actually attempting to write a book on, is religion and the state and how they are so intertwined and how...
Well, sorry, but Larkin Rose already wrote that.
Great, now I don't have to do it. But how the when you begin to attack the state, you're not attacking this entity. Mm-hmm. You're attacking people's actual religious beliefs.
Yeah.
You're attacking their God.
Yeah, their faith.
It's like trying to explain to a Jehovah's Witness that you don't agree with them. You cannot. You know, once you have that faith mentality...
So you're Jehovah's Witness bashing now, are you?
No. and I have nothing against religion.
Right.
I don't, you know. But when you make state your religion, then...
The problem with that, though, is that these people, I mean, on all the levels that have done this, that have made the state their religion... The vast majority of them have no idea that they've done that.
Mm-hmm.
This is such a slick ad campaign, if we can put it that way, that you have sold them on an entire mythology that they believe thoroughly, and they don't even realize it.
Yep.
You know, if you were a cult member that could pull this off, holy cow.
Yeah. I feel this way whenever I see anybody post... You know, they'll post a picture of George Washington with a quote that George Washington said.
Yeah.
And the quote is all, liberty, patriotism must be free, and the state must be controlled. And it's like, great, they say that.
Yeah.
But that's not what they did.
Yeah, and then he brings an army out to Pennsylvania and attacks tax protesters.
Right.
Rather than
because
face
they're interfering with his profits from his business.
Yeah, from his distillery business.
And it
so
doesn't
he, so
matter.
So let's just recap that. So he used the U.S. military on U.S. citizens
unconstitutionally
to enforce an unconstitutional law that he had signed and pushed through government, which helped his business, his private business, and gave his private business the advantage in the market. And he literally took the army and went and attacked people who were competitors to his personal business.
Mm-hmm.
That's George Washington.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
and
guy.
And yet, because he has these things that he's written about liberty and about how, you know, we must be free.
And not entangled with foreign alliances.
And because he wrote this, people are saying, but no, look, he liked liberty.
Yeah.
No, well, it doesn't matter what he writes.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, newsflash, politicians lie.
Yeah, yeah. We're
shocking news.
If Newt Gingrich...
I
was picking on Newt a minute ago, you know, Newt the lizard man.
Yeah.
I was picking on Newt a minute ago. If Newt Gingrich actually did what he says, he'd be a pretty great guy. He'd be like Ron Paul on steroids.
Yeah.
But he's not.
No.
He's just another lying politician.
And, you know, you have to wonder, in 200 years, are people going to go back and say, well, these were great libertarian thinkers because this is what they wrote? Well, what does it matter what they wrote?
Yeah, if you
go... It's easy to write lies.
If you go back to the 2000 election, George W. Bush said fantastic things about keeping government small and not going out and not invading foreign countries and not having a big footprint on the world. He said all the magic words to get elected and then, you know, does the opposite.
Because politicians lie.
And they always did.
Yeah.
That's the thing of it. Somehow we magically think that because this guy was part of the, you know, the revolution or whatever, then no, he must have been honest. I did a quote on Facebook the other day from Samuel Adams, writing to, was it Henry Lee? Henry Lighthorse Lee? One of the Lee family. They were a prominent Virginia family in mm-hmm. the time, and Robert E. Lee was a descendant of that family. But they were very active in the Revolution and so forth. And so Samuel Adams is writing a letter to him expressing frustration over this horrible, horrible thing that's happening. It's called a constitution.
Mm-hmm.
How can he's, and he's expressing his frustration, how can these people sell themselves into slavery like this?
Mm-hmm.
How can they accept this constitution and voluntarily make slaves of themselves? That's Samuel Adams talking to, I think, Henry Lee about the constitution
mm-hmm.
because he read it and he understood what it meant. It was against everything that they had fought for.
Yeah.
And yet now we look back and we're like, oh, we got to have the Constitution. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. When did the Constitution do anything to protect anyone? Ever?
Well, that got me into a thing on Facebook that ended up getting me spammed in an email with a very angry, foul-mouthed individual who told me what a terrible hypocrite I was because I violated the zero aggression principle by banning him from my Facebook page. He came on my face. I shouldn't even bring him up because it gives him more glory than he deserves. But he comes on my Facebook page. He barfs all over it, and I ban him, and then somehow I'm the one who's violated the zero aggression principle.
How dare you kick me out of your house after I've come in and smashed things?
But, you know, it doesn't matter if he had some valid points or if he didn't have some valid points. He completely misunderstood the point of mm-hmm. the picture that I put up, which the point of the picture is exactly what the wording said. The Constitution either allows this
mm-hmm.
or failed to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
How can it be anything else? Right. Well, no, it's in the Fourth Amendment doesn't necessarily... No.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what the Constitution says.
Yeah. The Constitution either let this happen or failed to stop this from happening.
That's like saying, you know, I've signed this pledge to never hit anyone. And then as you're hitting someone with a stick, say, no, but I signed the pledge.
Yeah.
But you're still hitting me. Oh, but I signed the pledge.
Yeah.
And I vowed not to hit anyone.
And the funny thing about the Constitution is, and the blind faith that people have in it, they're like, well, but the if we could just get the government to follow the Constitution, it'd be okay. It's a one-sided contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's where American citizens blindly believe in faith that the government is going to follow the contract. But no one in the government is actually bound by that contract.
Mm-hmm.
And the proof of that is that they've been violating it since it was brand new, since Washington first violated it, and every single president since then.
Yep.
It's argued that the most libertarian president ever was Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson violated the Constitution by purchasing the Louisiana Purchase. That wasn't his job, and it violated the separation of powers. So if the most libertarian president violated the Constitution, then what possible faith should we have in the Constitution?
Yeah.
Lysander Spooner's argument against the Constitution was that in his day, slavery was the big issue, mm-hmm. and he was an abolitionist. And so he said there were two camps that were arguing. One group of people were saying the Constitution guarantees freedom and equal rights for everybody, therefore we have to free the slaves. And the other group was saying, no, the Constitution is flawed. We need to change the Constitution because the Constitution allows slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to fix the Constitution. And so you had these two camps, and Lysander Spooner saying, no, you guys missed the point entirely. The Constitution is worthless.
Yeah.
It either allows it or didn't prevent it. But either way, it's not doing what you religious people think it's doing. And when I say religious people, the religion of the Constitution.
Yep. The religion of the state.
Yeah, to think this entity is an actual god, you know?
And I find it incredibly funny because so many of the people who are the most entrenched in this statist religion are mm-hmm. people who are atheists.
Yeah, that's really...
Like, people who... And this is, you know, this whole climate change, hyper-science, we only believe what is scientifically proven, you know, that mentality are the biggest group of people who are the most into the religion of the state.
Yeah, now there are a lot of anarchists who are atheists.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there's, you know, skepticism, I'm a skeptic, you know. I agree with being skeptical and wanting proof of things and not taking things off faith. But, at the same time, I don't
you apply that to the state, too.
I apply that to the state, too. And I apply that to the science that is coming out of the research that is funded by the state.
Yeah.
Or by an arm of the state. But, you know, you have to, because when you start to say, you know, I only believe what science tells me. But if you don't look deeper than what the scientific research says, if you don't say, okay, well, who funds that research? Where does that research come from? And what were their methods with that research?
Right.
You know, what were they trying? Did they go into it with an agenda trying to prove something? If you just believe that, well, this is what our priests of this religion say, then it doesn't matter if they are having scientifically founded research or if they are simply, you know, looking into a crystal ball.
Right.
It doesn't matter if they're going at it with a, we're going to prove this. All right, kids, now it's time to pull out the Walter Block.
We need some Walter Block music. That's what we need.
Like on the radio?
Yeah. But, well, imagine what was his name? Mr. Rogers? Like whenever Mr. Rogers would go over to the little thing where the dolls were and the weird voices with the creepy dolls, and he would talk to the, you know, whenever he would do that, there was this, like, pleasant, weird background music. Yeah, we need that for Walter Block. Like, so whenever we start to segue into a Walter Block segment, the Walter Block music starts. And, oh, listen, Kai, there's the Walter Block music.
Oh, that's right, because it was a trolley. The trolley came by and you could hear it.
Yeah.
And he would say, oh, it sounds like the trolley.
Oh, you know, here's the sad part. There's probably a good portion of our listeners who are too young to even know who Mr. Rogers was.
No, Mr. Rogers.
You think about that, because he's been dead now for, what, 10 years or so?
Yeah.
And he's been off the air for a long time.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I watched Mr. Rogers when I was a kid.
Yeah, but you're old.
I am not. I only have one gray hair. I am not old yet.
Oh, we were going to pick on Walter Block.
I'm totally missing the point.
Notes. Read the notes. Okay. Walter Block. Well, I don't have the note up, so I'll just wing it.
So why here's, not?
Yeah. It's not like we're doing anything else with any precision. So it's just kind of a fun, I thought it was a funny story. I thought it was just humorous. Walter Block is a foundational figure in the libertarian movement, in the liberty movement as a whole. He has done wonderful work. He's got some great books out there. He's got some great lectures you can get over at Mises.org. And I can say a lot of great things about Walter Block, and I've picked on Walter Block at times,
He does fall into hero worship sometimes.
Yeah, he's a human, so he has some flaws, but he has a great sense of humor. So that makes up for a lot. As wrong as he is on some things, he has a great sense of humor, so you can tolerate some level of wrongness. But Walter Block is a professor of economics at Loyola University in, I believe, New Orleans, and a very well-respected economist in addition to everything else. So as an economic professor in a prominent university, the Federal Reserve... The Federal Reserve sent a...
That could be the punchline right there.
Yeah. So Walter Block went into a bar in the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve, some clown, some idiot, some moron at the Federal Reserve sent Walter Block, of all people in the world, sent Walter Block this, basically a form letter saying, hey, we're your friends at the Federal Reserve, Mr. Professor of Economics. Please tell any of your kind students that would like a job that we like to hire economic students, and we can figure out some way to put money in their pocket if they'll help the Federal Reserve. And Walter Block is... you know, he is like, if you're not familiar with Walter Block, he is as anti-Fed as his buddy Ron Paul. So for the Federal Reserve to send Walter Block a recruiting letter is tantamount to the Federal Reserve sending a lobbyist to Ron Paul's office to see if they can get him to vote against the audit the Fed stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, and this is back to how stupid government is.
Google. And,
yeah.
It's called Google.
And I realize somebody's out there right now going, they're already typing me an email to tell me the Fed is not a part of the federal government. The Fed is no more the federal government than Federal Express. I know that. But it's all part of the state.
Right.
You see, the entire banking system is part of the state.
Right.
It exists
and,
because,
you know,
the government allows it
like
to exist.
Like we have said time and time again, we're not anti-government. We're anti-state.
Exactly. I need to sit down and take the 14 or 18 hours that it takes to write an article, because I haven't written a lot of articles lately, but it's frustrating for me because I'm not good at writing. So for me to actually produce a decent article takes about 14 hours for me to produce it. And it literally wipes my brain out for days. I'm just walking around a total Gumby head. And no offense, Gumby, if you're actually listening, no offense. It's not likely that Gumby's listening. But anyway, although I saw him post on Facebook the other day. But anyway, where was I going with that? Oh, but I need to actually write an article on the topic of the difference between the state and the government. Because there has been confusion on that, pretty much ongoing.
Right. Yeah, that's a confusing, and you know, it's why I don't, with the exception of Monsanto, I like to beat up Monsanto quite a bit, but I don't really go after corporations,
mm-hmm.
because I'm not anti-corporation.
Yeah.
I'm not anti- government. I'm not anti-big banking. I'm not anti, you know, I'm not anti any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm anti-state.
Yeah.
And any of those things without state influence...
Mm-hmm. The market would fix the problems with them.
They don't have the kind of problems because they don't have the fist of the state.
Yeah.
You know, so it reverts to voluntarism, which makes it not huge and evil and monstrous.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and just to say it in a different way, if it weren't for the violence of the state, if the state is based on aggression, lies, and theft.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you eliminate those, aggression, lies, and theft, and you hold the state and you hold major corporations and you hold the banking industry to the same standard that, you know, Bob's Fish store, you know, down at the mall, the single one guy operating Bob's Fish store, if you held Monsanto to the same standards that he has to be held to, if you held Bank of America and the Federal Reserve and Chase Manhattan to the same standards that Bob's Fish store has to hold to, which is, because he's not allowed to lie,
right?
He's not allowed to use aggression,
right?
He's not allowed to steal,
right?
So if you hold those companies to the same standard as him, he would be on an equal playing field with them. And they would probably collapse.
Right.
Because their entire structure of their business is based on the state's aggression, lies, and theft.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so the enemy, then, is not the evil Monsanto. It's the practice of accepting theft, lies, and aggression.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes us back to the zero aggression principle. Let me read that. I've been reading that on as many of these as I can, and let's finish with me reading this statement by L. Neil Smith. And regular listeners are going to get tired of hearing the words L. Neil Smith, because I say this so often on these podcasts, but I want to just do it one more time. A libertarian is a person who believes that no one has the right, under any circumstances, to initiate force against another human being, or to advocate or delegate its initiation. Those who act consistently with this principle are libertarians, whether they realize it or not. Those who fail to act consistently with it are not libertarians, regardless of what they may claim.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks, for more on the zero aggression principle, liberty, and property rights, go to badquaker.com. Thank you.
Bye.